And welcome back to the Livingston Parish News Weekly Show, a podcast brought to you by the Livingston Parish News. My name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news, and today we have a special guest, a local business owner, and a guy who's probably more involved than you think. I'm going to give him just a second to introduce himself so that folks who are just listening to this can put a voice to a name. So good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking the time. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Chad Foster, and I'm with Gator Millworks.
Thank you, sir. And as a lot of people know, Gator just built a brand new facility. It's pretty amazing. Off of Florida Boulevard near Jubin. We're going to get to that in just a second, but wanted to kind of, you know, get it started off with, you know, you've been with the company for a while. Going to get you to give me something a little more accurate than that, but you know, it's one of those things where you have a personal connection to the business. So give us a little bit of your history with Gator Millworks. When did you start and that kind of thing? And we're going to kind of build up into sort of discussing this new and pretty amazing facility that a lot of students have gotten to see, actually. We were there for your manufacturing day just a few weeks ago. So take it away, sir.
So Gator Millworks is a 28-year-old company, just entering our 28th year. Started off in central Louisiana. We're just across the river, Amite River, as a just a small mom and dad pop shop for, you know, custom face frame cabinets. And it grew from that to what you see today. But for me, I got started because of my father in the carpentry business for most of his life. Spent some time in the newspaper in Baton Rouge, actually. Transferred to Atlanta for 10 years and was actually a night pressman.
Okay.
So plant manager ended up being. So
right.
Was great time.
Well, yeah, you and I had a conversation about that before we started, that he was with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And we also talked about the fact that making a paper, it's a manufacturing deal. So like you said, they call it a pressman, but you're a plant manager. I mean,
yeah.
You're directing people to construct something.
Yeah, he liked working with his hands, so building things, machinist is same thing in millwork and also kind of a newspaper because you're having to make things just with different products. So
sure. So bring us forward. Like you got started. It was kind of a mom and pop shop. And you know, as you're moving forward, I know that, and that was a lot of uses of the word forward, excuse me, but you kind of get into this realm of, I think, this is more of a question. You have the location on Highway 16. The flood comes, let me back up just a second. When did you make the move from Central to Livingston Parish, or when did your parents make the move?
So they moved the business over about 2 years after it kind of got started.
Okay.
They purchased the property on 16 right there near the high school, built a building at that time and expanded. I entered the company obviously through working with my father, but once I graduated high school from Central, I went to Southeastern for finance.
Okay.
And then my father got ill, you know, after my junior year in college, and I actually went to his bedside and said I wanted to stay with the company and not go back to school.
Okay.
So that's kind of how my teeth got deeper into the company at that point in time. So
sure.
About 2003.
Okay.
And then we just went from there to kind of growing every year or two with new technology.
Sure. So as a finance guy, you were focused on obtainable growth, responsible growth.
Smart growth.
Right.
I think that being creative of what you do can actually accelerate that growth. So kind of separating yourself, stepping out there, doing things in business that most people have not done in the area or industry.
Sure. Sure. So let's talk about, I know that a bedside conversation with your ailing father can be a little intimate. Want to talk more about you and your mindset, you know, as you've decided to have that conversation and you've had it with your father, what were you looking to do with Gator? What was your vision?
Well, the vision always changed.
That's fair.
I mean, just because things around you change.
Sure.
So my vision in the very beginning was to just continue it. It was a company that built off of great reputation, and to keep that going was important. So just continue doing what we did well, but also adding in technology to how we did those things to make those easier and better for all of us that worked in the shop. That was my first vision, I guess you could say, was to do that.
Okay. So let's fast forward a few years. In 2016, everybody knows what happened, but I'll go ahead and say it real quick. Obviously, there was a flood. Your shop there on 16 took a lot of water, just like we did here. We're actually not far from where your old shop was. And I'm going to guess you had a choice at that point about what you wanted to do. Was the facility that you have now already on your mind? Were the plans already there and the flood kind of pushed you in that direction? Or were you already moving that direction and it just kind of said, okay, now we're just going to do this?
So in 2014, we started to discuss about the potential of building a new facility. And then in 2015, we acquired a piece of property, the summer of 15, which is where we're at today.
Okay.
And then in the process of designing the building, we were very close to breaking ground on that building right before the flood actually occurred.
Gotcha.
So it postponed the project about a year and a half from starting.
Gotcha.
But it allowed us to actually grow the project by doing that. Because the property that we're on currently, we actually got to expand it with another track next to it, which made the facility bigger.
Gotcha. Okay. So much like your first question, or the first question I asked you about the vision, and you kind of answered part of it, like, you know, the flood postponed it, but it also allowed you to expand what you wanted to do with this building. That's the question I want to ask. When you had this idea in your head that you were going to build a new facility, what did you want it to be?
Unique. Unique in a way that things that we got to see over the years of all over the country. We've traveled, myself, others from the company, to see other facilities, to see other industries, vendors. So it allowed us to see things and then bring that back home to change our industry locally, hopefully, to more than just what it's always been. Not that that's wrong, but to embrace technology.
Sure. And we're going to get to that in a second, because I've gotten to tour the factory floor, and of course I got to see it during the manufacturing day. A lot of automation, some very cool stuff, and I want to talk about that. But one of the things that I also wanted to discuss with you is, you know, in our dealings together, I've learned that if you want to learn something, you're going to learn it. You know, you're going to dive all in. You're going to learn about it. You and I have dealt with lights. And, you know, you knew the first time we ever talked to you, you knew more than I did, which was fascinating. But when you were doing this building, what was it like to sort of grow your vision? Because the building is part of your business. It's part of your vision going forward. But up until that point, you had dealt with Millworks. So what was it like to sort of take your experience in that and take your sort of hunger for learning and grow it into, okay, I'm going to make this big, unique building? What was that process like?
The process was long. I mean, from conception of the property, buying it, to doing was 5 years, and it hasn't still changed with designing it in your head. So it evolves, but the process was, let's make this building different. Let's make this building great for the people to work in this. So how do we do that? Well, let's think through who we are. You know, what is it we need? How can we grow in this space? You know, there was a lot of thoughts put into not just building a building, throwing it up, put some doors in it, and calling it a millwork shop. And that's okay to do, but we wanted to make it easy for people.
Sure. And you know, I was thinking that if we could, the way I wanted to talk about it is almost like a walkthrough, because it does seem like every area you walk into is customized. It's specific for that purpose. So when you walk in, giant floor-to-ceiling glass, you know, tunnel light up top, custom woodwork, and a showroom that I know that we're working with you guys as well as some other contractors to get finished. When you're envisioning that space, I can only imagine that your initial thought was, I want people to walk through the door and say, wow.
We do. We definitely want that to be the case and say, this, I've never seen this before. And that starts with actually the entry of the building, which is one of the key, you know, before you even get inside, there's a portal that we're still having to manufacture, but it's going to be backlit with RGB lighting.
Okay.
So another nice feature from an exterior point, just to get them to see that and to open their mind.
Sure. And even once you move past that point, there's some conference rooms and offices. And again, we're working with you guys. Everybody's kind of got their own touch on these offices. But of course, millwork is the central focus, and all these offices are beautiful. I mean, what, when y'all were discussing them, what was the, you know, what did you tell your guys? Like, I want you to have a space that you're proud of.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes for the entire facility. It's something that we want you to be proud to be in every day, respect what you have, take care of what you have, like you should. So, giving, you know, great spaces to be in, I think, makes a happier employee. I think that their performance actually goes up as well, because they don't have to think about some things that they don't, that could be hard on them. So,
sure.
It's just a helpful environment.
Sure. And then last but certainly not least, you and I and Tom have met in the conference room, which is designed, I think, from, and correct me if I'm wrong, but designed sort of from your background of being a lifelong learner, very much an educational space, not really a place for somebody to get a, it seems like when you go in there, you're going to learn something.
Yes, yeah, so we have a second floor training center that allows us to use the space for different things. So whether it's safety training, whether it's a third party use for someone looking to use to educate somebody else on something in a different industry. You know, this was one of the things we wanted to do with this facility, is to help not just expose who we are, but help others do the same.
Sure. So that's kind of the front is very much, it's interesting. It's segmented from the factory floor, very much a custom space, a space that is a reflection of the people that work there, but also kind of a very much a wow factor. But when you go in the back, I mean, vaulted ceilings, bright light, machines moving. I want to start with, because I wanted to try to talk through each one of these pieces individually as much as we can. I want to start with just the basic that when samples or, you know, inventory comes in, it goes into this fenced area and everything is digitally marked. You have, you know, robotic arms moving around, moving. Where did you see that? Where did you learn that? I mean, most people think you take a piece of wood, you cut it, you put it together and make a cabinet. I mean, this just with the start of the process is so down to the number. It's impressive.
Yeah, we wanted to find some technology, obviously, to continue to how we can get better with how we do it. We ran across this technology, I think it was in 2012, at a woodworking show in Atlanta, and knew at that point that it was a changer for us of how much we're a custom shop, which means different types of materials moving in and out around all the time.
Right.
So to be able to do that efficiently, fast, it was a way to do it and take up less space. This machine does that. It allows you to basically stack every piece of material within 4 inches of each other up to 6 feet tall and sort of like a deck of cards.
Right. And I mean, it was very interesting sort of watching how person plugged in a number, the arm moved, picked up that sheet of wood and deposited it, along, I guess you can say, the cutting board to get cut. Which is also automated and, a fascinating machine that pulls things through a conveyor belt, has its own dispensary for the sawdust, and out comes a cut piece of wood ready to be whatever.
Edge banded.
Yeah, because, that's the cool thing. I also want to, like you said, you're a custom shop. So y'all do plenty of, like any manufacturer, you kind of have to have your base. So y'all do cabinets, but you do so much more than that. That sort of gives you a base that allows you to expand into other things. First and foremost, tell us, what's that like from a personal standpoint, being able to hold on to, the fact that you're still here 20 years later making cabinets, there's got to be a sense of pride in that.
Most definitely. That's a thing that I'm very passionate about is that original heritage of what we did. But to take that as foundation and expand it, it's really amazing to be able to see now how it I think anyone can do that. It's just you have to do it.
Sure.
But it's very neat to see how mixed we are with our products.
Sure. And let's talk about the mix for a second. I mean, what is outside of cabinetry, what is just off the cuff, what is one of the coolest projects you've worked on?
A bunch. In particular, I would say that the Louisiana Superdome was one that was very nice for us to be a part of in 2016.
Sure. What did y'all do?
We actually replaced all the suites on the 400 level.
And, oh, wow.
Oh, it was a very, very nice project for us. It was very challenging at that point in time, but we finished this up just before the flood. So
wow, and got that out real quick, I'm sure. So that's very cool. And, you know, Superdome is a huge part of, you could say, Louisiana culture at this point. You know, people always get excited over the Saints.
They do.
I'm sure that felt good to be a part of that. Obviously these are two very separate deals. I mean, you're making a lot of cabinets for a lot of different homes and that kind of deal, and then you're making specialty woodwork for suites. To be able to do that, I would imagine, and you kind of touched on this a bit, but I want to hear more about when you were thinking about your factory floor, designing your factory floor, I imagine that you had to design it in such a way where automation was a key point, not necessarily to replace people, to make this stuff streamlined, because you're doing so many different things. I mean, you are. I mean, the difference between people might say, oh, you're still cutting wood. I would imagine it's a little different. So when y'all got to the point where you're designing your factory floor, I mean, and you knew you, for instance, wanted that singular sorting machine, what else were you thinking about automation and how you wanted this to flow? Because I know it goes all the way down to things come in on one side and go out the other, and there's all this in between that is, it's amazing, but it also seems very, very complicated.
It can be complicated. I think that you have to have a good team around that to do it. For us, robotics allows our staff members to not have to physically do as much as they would do if they didn't have it. So it's not to ever take away any position or job. It's usually to add.
Okay. So when you're talking about adding, I mean, you said you wanted smart growth. Right. And so when you're talking about adding, you know, did you leave room for different automation as things progress? Did you think about that in the future, say 10 years down the road?
So time is never usually a distance for me. It's always when to do it when it's right.
Sure.
But yes, we most definitely left for that. So, I mean, there's features that we can add to operations like a saw. A robotic arm can actually take that same piece that's coming off the saw from the IntelliStore now and downstack that, and allows that to be organized much faster and efficiently.
Okay. Very cool. So obviously you've thought about the future as a win, not an if, and you know, you've designed your shop to, or your office/workshop to be that way. So here's sort of an intimate question, and it might be asking a parent what their favorite child is, and they're going to say, oh, no, I love them all. Which, by the way, parents, everybody knows that's not true. We know you love all your kids, but everybody's got a favorite kid. Don't lie. So what's your favorite part about the operation? If you had to sit there and think about it, what is your favorite part about what y'all do?
That's tough.
I'm here to ask a hard question.
I can see. I would say making sure that I support this with the work that it deserves.
Okay.
But to see how we can produce it at the IntelliStore.
Okay.
Store tech. It's just a unique piece of equipment.
Sure.
It doesn't exist anywhere else in the state. It doesn't exist in the city of Houston, which is the fourth largest city, I believe, in the country.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's surprisingly good traffic, and I'll tell you that story after we're done. But when you're thinking about your IntelliStore, you're thinking about all of these things that go together to make Gator Gator. Any kind of glimpses you can offer us for what you believe is the future of what you're doing in woodworking? I know you and I, you've shown us some of the things you can do with heat, specifically in manipulating wood and stuff like that. Tell us a little bit about that. And then anything else you can kind of see coming up in the future of millwork?
We in this facility, we added the ability to take solid surface, which is a coring product, we can heat this material and actually shape this into fronts of cabinetry or fronts of reception desk. So to expand on that even further with coring products in our business is something we will do. Developing more products that we have made one-off pieces in our facility, we will take these and continue to take our designs that we have and make these into products that are not just cabinetry, it's furniture pieces, and put this out over the country or world.
Sure, sure. So you're always trying to find, you're pulling this all together. you keep that sense of pride in the cabinetry and doing this thing that you've been doing for decades. But you're also trying to find those things that'll set you apart and can be seen in the future, I guess you can say. Would you describe that as somewhat accurate?
Very accurate. Creativity is great for us at the company. It takes a lot of that to do what we do. So I think if we're not going to be the company we are today without that.
Sure.
I mean, we're not.
Sure. So I want to discuss a few things, kind of bare bones stuff, as we sort of wrap up here. I am not going to ask you what your revenue is. You can thank me later. But how many employees do y'all have, including yourself?
I don't know the exact count today.
Okay. When you're talking about, you know, for a lot of manufacturers, community is important, but a lot of times, I mean, your manufacturing stuff is heavy work. It's tough. When you're talking about being a good community partner, what does that mean to somebody like you in manufacturing and doing what you do specifically?
I think it's important for people to know who we are. And I think for us to help them in ways that we can is extremely important. I think our company's made up of so many people in our community. So being able to help them in times is important.
Sure.
I think it allows people to understand who you are.
Right. And I mean, there were some things y'all did, especially during the pandemic, I mean, that were very much, it was a wider community. It was the healthcare community, but I know y'all came out with face shields, I believe, trying to help those folks, you know, stay in the hospital, stay working, get back to work. That was a cool project. Any other type community things that we may have, anything you might have done on the down low that, like, are you a member of Chamber, anything like that?
I am sit on the board for BRAC, Baton Rouge Area Chamber.
Wow. Okay.
That's almost a year now.
Okay.
I'm actually also on the board of advisors for Pittsburgh State University for their architectural millwork program they have.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which has been amazing to be a part of as well. So
Sure. Okay. So involved in a lot of large communities. For those of you who don't know, BRAC is Baton Rouge Area Chamber. Very important, I guess you can say, it's a very important entity in the Nine Parish area, doing a lot of business attraction, business retention. So good to hear that you are part of that board. As we wrap up here, I'm being given a prompt that I do want to bring up. I had mentioned it earlier. Just a few weeks ago, y'all had for Manufacturing Day, y'all gave a tour for a lot of local students. And how many was that, Tom? 150? 150 kids. What did that mean to you to be able to, because there are big science and technology and engineering and math programs, a little different at Denham and Walker, but both kind of moving in the same direction. What was that like to be able to bring those kids in and kind of wow them with a lot of this stuff that they might not expect to see here in Livingston Parish?
It was very neat to see. I didn't expect to have that many students on this first experience that we were providing. So amazing for us to be able to provide them this look. The whole thing was is to get them to think, not to worry about what we do so much, but just to inspire their mind to think about whatever it is, to show them that they can reach anything.
Sure. And I mean, you don't have to be limited by location or anything like that. You just have to be willing to learn, which I think is a core value of yours. I mean, as we've gotten to know each other, I mean, I know you're always looking to learn something. So anything else that you'd like to say about Gator before we wrap this up today?
Yes, we're very proud to be in Livingston Parish. I couldn't imagine having this company anyplace else. It's been home for me for now 18 years as I've moved from Central. So this is my home. I know this is a lot of people's home. So just proud to be here. Met amazing people that's here and couldn't imagine being anywhere else.
Great. Well, I know obviously on multiple boards, running a big company, you are a busy man. So I know I appreciate you taking the time to come do this interview. I know our listeners appreciate it as well. If you would please take one last second to reintroduce yourself so those folks who are listening can replace that name.
My name is Chad Foster, and I'm with Gator Millworks.
Thank you, sir. And my name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news. One last time, I want to thank my guest for taking the time to join us today. I want to thank those of you who are either listening or watching to this. We appreciate that as well. Please remember that we are at the news on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. We are once a week in print on Thursdays at $7 a month to get that in your mailbox. We're also online, www.livingstonparishnews.com. We hope you have a great day, and we're going to see you next time.